If we lived what we sang, we'd all be saints, wouldn't we? Well, I guess we are saints through Christ. So maybe I said that wrong, but I think you got the picture. What's the first song you sang? What number was that? 510. Thank you. For some reason I had 518 in my mind. This stuck out to me in light of thinking about what I'll be sharing here this morning. Jesus, I have come to offer heart and soul to thee forever. Here I am, I'm coming before God, and I'm saying, here, I'm yours. Oh, the joys that now appear, sin be gone, I'll not be hearing, world I turn from you uncaring. That's strong, isn't it? I turn from the world sometimes uncaring. I sometimes also turn from the world caring. Know what I mean? Sometimes you can turn and say, I am not interested. Okay, my green Camaro, right? I turn uncaring now. But there was a day when I had to turn caring. Know what I'm saying? It's a little bit what we're going to talk about today. I had to turn and make a purposeful choice, and I cared. And it hurt. From the world uncaring, I will not look back again. Period. I will not. Though my heart has been divided, that's what we're going to talk about today. Two different men. And sometimes it's divided. Though my heart has been divided, though my steps have been misguided, to a solid choice I'm led. Choice. Remember our paper? I'm going to make the right choice. Now to yield my will completely. Wow. No more will for me. It's yielded. Did I say something about saints? Completely. To defer to Jesus only. But Mickey would kind of like this and would like that. Mm-mm. Jesus. What does he want? Not what do I want. What does he want? Some pretty saintly things you all sang. Night and day to serve my God. Wow. That's all I do. It's you, Lord, serving you. Lord, to thee I freely offer. It just keeps getting more and more saintly, doesn't it? Lord, to thee I freely offer all I love. All I love. Do you freely offer all you love? Or do you want to keep just a little bit for Mickey? I like that. I like that. I like that. That's neat. That's nice. That's more pretty. That's more whatever. I like that. No? No, Lord, to thee I freely offer all I love. A joyful waiver. Saints or not here. Joyfully. It's yours. See, I keep nothing here. Search me. Try me. All the way to my very core. Everything. He doesn't miss anything. Oops, there's a dark corner. Mm-mm. It's not there. There's no dark corner. Where are we at? Search me, try me, prove my yearnings, test what my yearnings are. If to trifles I am turning, take them from me right away. One brother back at home has made this comment before. He said, I sang that and I thought, if God would do that, what would all of a sudden disappear in my life? Whew, gone. If to trifles I am turning, take them from me right away. So if God would do that literally, and dissipate trifles, what would be gone in my life if God did that? It's a good question. Do you have any trifles? That to God they're trifles, but to me they're kind of important. And if they're not what he wants, if they would just dissipate, what would be gone when I got back home? That was the way he said it. What the world and flesh allure me. Nothing hard shall now detour me. Saints, right? No, it's not going to detour me. Deter me. Christ, for thee my all shall be. If in all things I may ever, in thine eyes behold thy pleasure, mine is joy that knows no end. And that's true. That's where real joy comes from. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Remember this? Yeah, you remember it. Things are happening and going into our life. And then things come out. And choices are made. Decisions are made that build foundations and form a Christ-like life. You'll have to forgive me if I allude to my father a little this morning. He's laying in a bed. I think I've mentioned this to you all, haven't I? And he had open heart surgery. And so this morning I was talking to my mother. I hope I wasn't distracting you. I was in here a little bit just before I came out. And she was almost to walk in on him. She can't get in before a set time. And so she was sitting in the waiting room. But she said, she made this comment. And she says, I'm not sure how much he knows or how much he'll remember of what he's saying and thinking. Maybe he'll remember it all. Not sure. But he's under a lot of pain meds and all these things. So he kind of goes in and out of sleep. But she said, I think, and we've talked about this before, when we're under those kind of circumstances and we're only kind of half there, who we really are comes out sometimes. And what we're thinking undercover comes out. And what's kind of down in comes out. And when he recognized my mother for the first time after coming out, out from under the drugs. His first two comments, his first comment to my mother, and it's kind of a common comment, was, so precious. And his second comment was, and it's kind of belabored and difficult for him to say, but, I love Jesus. And he just keeps saying that to people. And so, again, I'm not sure what all he'll remember, and maybe he'll listen to me saying this someday, and that's perfectly fine. You know, he's made a lot of choices. A lot of right choices. Like Brother Andy said, sure, he's not perfect, but he's made a lot of right choices. And there's a Christ-like life when he's only half in and half out, and it's coming out. I love Jesus. And there's a tenderness about him as he lays in his painful, out of it, a little bit in state. And anyway, I could share more things he keeps saying, but there's just a softness and a tenderness and a carefulness. That didn't happen overnight. He wasn't born that way. You weren't born that way. I wasn't born that way. I believe, and this is what I wrote at the top of my paper here to get started, I want us to see how that we are framing our convictions more by our everyday decisions than by our deep studies of doctrine. Did you get that? I think you are forming your deep convictions. We're talking about building biblical convictions, right? You're forming those convictions more by everyday decisions, and we'll look at this today, by everyday decisions more than deep doctrinal studies. And I think you agree with me till we're done. And I want you to see how you're doing that. Not only that you're doing that, but how you're doing that. It's very common in the settings we grow up in our homes. It's not uncommon if something's working, we've got to figure out how it's working. We went to where we're staying at Joe Carnegie's there. They have this horse that my girls are sitting on this horse, and they pump the stirrups. Maybe some of you have seen it, and the horse goes forward. It's not the pedal that we're used to. So I looked at that thing, and my boys were looking at that thing. Okay, how does this thing work? You're pumping stirrups up and down, and this horse goes forward. And the girls just thought this is great, and you can actually turn its ears or something, and the wheels turn underneath. Well, you're not supposed to see the wheels. They're covered, you know. It's a horse, but and the wheels turn. Okay, you're pumping up and down. It's not a pedal. And so we have to figure out, how's this work? Then when we see, oh, this works, that somebody was thinking, and they came up with a neat idea. And this horse, you can pump the stirrups, and away this child goes around the kitchen. But when we understand, we want to know how it works. so that we can understand what's going on. I want us this morning, especially you young people, but it's for all of us, but I'm trying to stay focused here, how this thing works. How is it that my everyday decisions and practical decisions are influencing my convictions more than my deep doctrinal studies? Maybe I shouldn't say more. I'm just trying to make a point that's very important. I think it's more, personally. If you all think differently, I'm open to that. But let's go along and take a picture of that. What I want you to put the title today is The Spiritual Man and the Carnal Man. So I'm just going to go ahead and do that. Make our two men up here. And I guess we'll just let them both be smiling. Is that okay? I'm not sure. I didn't think about this. If I'm supposed to make one not smiling and one smiling. But here we have... can I do this? Mr. Spiritual. And Mr. Carnal. And again, forgive me, I don't know, maybe I should make Mr. Carnal be frowning away or something, but they're just men. I'm not trying to make a point out of that. The spiritual man and the carnal man. I believe that if we can get a peek behind the scenes and realize that we have two men inside of us. That's what I was going to do with you here. Right, the spiritual man in the one box, the carnal man in the other box for today. The spiritual man, the carnal man. And then you're going to flip your papers on the other side, or I guess however you're writing it, and you're going to put understanding ourselves. So first we looked at our view of God, our connection with God, and today, understanding ourselves. Understanding myself. And what I want us to see is that in each of us, we are a two-part being. Now, it's very common, and I think it's good, that if you study the Word and others' writings, many times they divide us into three parts. Do you know what those three parts are, the three-part being? Any of you young people know? It's a worthwhile study, but it's a little deeper than we can handle. Right. Thank you. Three parts. What are those three parts? Thank you very much, brother. He understands. Surely he's done this before. Any of you name them, the three-part man? And I think it's a worthy study. Body, soul, spirit. Right? You've heard of that. Today, I'm going to look at it differently. I think you can find those principles in the Word, and it's a worthy study, and it's sometimes helping understand how you work. Helps us make right decisions. Well, I'm going to look at it as a two-part man. And I believe if we get a picture of this, we'll see this two-part man in the Word, that this is who we are. And Mr. Carnal is not all bad. I had to put on a shirt this morning. I had to take a shower last night. I had to, and on, and that had to do with my physical man, right? So when we see the word carnal, it's not necessarily all bad. It can be bad, it can be good, it can be amoral, and we'll talk about that a little bit too. But we're made up of two parts. Think of Adam and Eve. Adam died, right? That was referred to earlier. Did his physical man die? Did this man die? No. What man died? The spiritual man. Okay, so we understand that concept. But we're going to look at three things. One is understanding our two-part man, understanding the feed-starve principle, and understanding the heart-actions principle. So we're going to look at those three things. So in the beginning, I want you to open your Bibles to Romans. We're just going to look at understanding our two-part man. And I can put this over here for you if that's helpful. Understanding our two-part man. In Romans chapter 7, we're again just looking at understanding this two-part concept here first. Then we'll look at actions and results of that. In Romans chapter 7, we find the Apostle Paul in a sharing a wrestle. Verse 14, we're just going to jump in here. For we know that the law is spiritual and I am carnal, sold under sin. Let's not dig into that deeply. Just grab spiritual, carnal. Those two words. Let's keep going. For that which I do, I allow not. Wait a minute. What I do and I allow not. Do you know what's happening here? These two men are wrestling. Okay? These two men are fighting. Because that which I do, I don't allow. Well, who doesn't allow and who does? It's this. Carnal, spiritual. You see that there? Verse 14. That which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. So over here, Mr. Carnal's doing something and Mr. Spiritual's saying, I don't allow that. And Mr. Carnal goes ahead and does it. You have two entities almost inside of us that are warring. And he says, for what I would, and so Mr. Spiritual is saying, I would like to, Psalm 510, right? 510, we can, days like this, I trust most of us, our hearts are welling up, and we want to live Psalm 510 that we just looked at. Lord, I freely offer. Here I am. That which I would, Mr. Spiritual, oh, I do not. And so Mr. Carnal takes over, and there are actions that come out of our lives. Oops. Do you see this war that's happening? And let's not, and remember, this and this is me. They're both me. Okay? They're both me, but there's a tension here. If then I do, verse 16, that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but that sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh, my carnal man, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Do you see this wrestle? And he's saying, there's a war between these two men here. And it's warring. I want to do this, but I do this. I like this. I shouldn't like this. And on it goes. And there's just a wrestle that happens. Have any of you ever felt that wrestle? And if you don't say yes, you don't get it. Because you have. Jesus felt that wrestle. He didn't fall to this man. He didn't. Thank God he didn't fall. But he felt the pressures and the wrestle of this man. Where were we at? Verse, I'm not sure, 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. See this war here, verse 20. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, the sin dwelleth in me. I find then a law, verse 21, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. We're not going to dig into this. I just want you to see this wrestle. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And you'll find this, Mr. Spiritual, he's also sometimes called inward. And he's all, this one over here is sometimes called outward. We'll see if we get to some of those scriptures. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, another man in my members. Can I say that? Warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Mr. Carnal is being too strong. How am I going to be delivered from this fella? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is deliverance for this fella. Let's go to Galatians. Jump with me just to a few... just go over to Romans 8. You're right there. Romans 7, jump over to Romans 8. Romans 8, 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain and together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. I don't think that's the verses I wanted. Okay, let's go to Galatians like I told you first. Galatians chapter 5. Understanding our two-part man. Forgive me if you feel this is a little theological here. We will get practical, but let's just get this understanding. 5:17, let's jump back to 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Again, we could get a lot more out of this, and we will with our points 2 and 3. But first off, he's saying, walk in the Spirit. Walk with the influence of Mr. Carnal upon your life. I said that wrong. Walk with the influence of Mr. Spiritual upon your life, and Mr. Carnal will not have the power to make the decisions. Walk in the Spirit. And I realize that this is the Holy Spirit. And so, again, my illustration may break down here a bit, but I think we still get the picture. Walk in the Spirit. Walk by Mr. Spiritual, not by Mr. Carnal. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of Mr. Carnal, the flesh, the outward man. 4. Mr. Flesh, Mr. Carnal, lusts against and has desire against and has war against and is fighting Mr. Spiritual. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit is warring against Mr. Flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. Doesn't that sound like Romans 7? Same type of thing. We've got this mister and this mister, and they're just button heads, and it's not flowing. And there's friction, and there's difficulty. Do you understand? You're two-part man. That's how we're made. That's how we are. God created us this way. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. I'm trying to keep away here for just a minute from application to make sure we get this foundational principle. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not. Verse 15, back up a verse there, says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause, this cause of the glory of God, we don't faint. Though our outward man, which man is that? Mr. Carnal. Though our outward man perish, Paul says, I have these two men in me. Though this man is perishing, my inward man is renewed day by day. And we need to figure out how that happens, because that's what makes a man with conviction and faithful like the Apostle Paul was. But we're not going to look at how here for just a minute. Just realize there's two wrestling inside of the Apostle Paul. Though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. And we could go on up earlier in the verses. I don't know. We'll see if we get to that later on too. We'll see that he had difficulties. And he was going through, this flesh was dealing with, he was persecuted and he was troubled and he was distressed. But he said, you know what? That's here. And I'm okay with this man being put down, as long as this man is put up and built up. This was a core principle in the life of the Apostle Paul. A simple little illustration. Let's say you decide you're going to fast. Quit eating for a short time. Who's going to complain? Make sure I get this right. Who's going to complain? Is he going to like that? Let's say you're not just fasting from all food. Let's say you decide for a week. It's what I call, I should come up with a better name, but my term is wimpy fasting. Okay? There are times I know all the excuses and I've felled them too. And sometimes it's needful, but if I try to work hard, I won't give my employer what I should. If I try to, and on the arguments go. All right, wimpy fasting can be done. Skip all sweet, sugar, nice, add whatever you want, fruits, whatever. Just get energy into your body, what's being fed. Don't make it difficult for mom as she's cooking and she has to do something special. I mean, you can do a rice and beans and eat that for a week. Another wimpy fast. But rather than make it difficult for mom or your sister, say, and it might be worthwhile, for me it is, just whisper to mom, can you excuse me from the nice things you're going to fix this week? You'd be surprised how many times it happens. Even those of you who say you don't do dessert, it's amazing. If you skip fruits, and to me, I really like fruits, so to me, they sit right there beside the ice cream. And you decide, I'm just going to skip those extras. I know there's good vitamins, they're worth eating, but skip those extras. All right, so you're going to fast, whether it's a real one or it's a wimpy one. Wimpy in quotes. You got that? Do wimpy fasts. Don't excuse fasting. You have that. That's a way for you to do it. So you decide you're going to fast. Who complains? Mr. Carnal, right? But do you realize that if you choose to fast, whether you feel it or not, you're blessing this man here? See that? That choice to fast, whether it's the soul of someone you work with, a brother or sister in your family, the own need in your own life, whatever the situation is, you choose to fast, what you're doing is saying, no. Yes. See where I'm pointing? No to Mr. Carnal. Yes to Mr. Spiritual. And again, I'm going to use lots of illustrations, and we're going to talk about this today. And you can even have Mr. Carnal enjoying fasting too, especially if somebody else knows about it. This fella will stick up his head wherever he can. And if he can get a bang out of fasting and somebody else knows and they'll think I'm kind of spiritual, do you know what happened? This fella's getting fed again. So just to fast isn't just the answer. And yet, purposeful decisions of continuing to do this. And when you see Mr. Carnal sticking up his head, squash him down again and say, I'm going to do this. I'm moving in to the second one. And that is understanding of today here. Same, we're working on the same. This is how I'm dividing it in my mind as I share it with you. What did I say here? Understanding what I'm calling the feed-starve principle. Okay, back to our fasting illustration. We're kind of moving into this point here. I choose to fast. What I'm doing is I'm trying to starve Mr. Carnal in me. And I'm trying to feed Mr. Spiritual. Okay? So if I just, all right, let's just fast the rest of my life, that's not going to fix things. That's not the way Jesus wants us to live. In the sense of thinking I can just make some outward choices, this guy will die and this guy will live. If so, we could take the concept that, and I should remember his name, but we've all probably heard about him, the fellow who climbed up on a pole that was how many feet up in the air, sat on a little platform on the top of a pole for years, people had to bring him food and all this, and he just sat there, and he was trying to starve. What he was doing is trying to starve Mr. Carnal and feed Mr. Spiritual. And he was a monk that climbed up, sat on this pole. What's his name? Don't remember it either? Okay. Simon something. Okay. So dear Simon, he in a sense grabbed a hold of a portion of this principle. And again, I'm not going to be able to balance it all, so bear with me here. He grabbed a hold of the portion of this principle and he said, all right, climb up on the top of a pole, sit there. Is that going to be nice when it rains? Is it going to be nice when the sun's shining? Is your carnal man going to like sitting up there and sitting up there and sitting? It's not going to be very nice. Now, who knows? Maybe down under, he was fed a little bit of, hopefully everybody thinks I'm really spiritual up here. Maybe he had some of that. I don't know. I'm not trying to judge him. I just know me. Miggy can do that. When I do something that I think I'm downing this, well, if somebody else sees it, then maybe, ooh, maybe I get a, he'll get fed a little bit. Ah, he sticks up his head. But when we make decisions in life, we are feeding and starving one or the other or both or however that works. That's why I said in the beginning, I believe that our everyday decisions are developing our biblical convictions and our Christ-likeness more than just than a focused, deep study of the doctrines of God. And I'm not trying to be negative on studying the deep doctrines of God. But our everyday decisions. Am I going to fast today or not? And as we go through life, we begin making choices that make it very clear whether we're feeding or we're starving the wrestles here. Notes and letters are amoral. Thank you, Brother Levi. Notes, do, re, mi, are amoral. Put together in a certain arrangement, they're not amoral. And he proved that to us, an excellent illustration. Letters, A, B, C, they're amoral. Put them together in a certain way, they're beautiful, God glorifying. Put them together in another way, the enemy is delighted. Right? So we have amoral things. The very thing becomes very not amoral and very, I should say, immoral. Okay? Very immoral. That means not moral, wrong, and very beautiful. The very same thing. Letters, notes, and decisions in life. Okay? So I realize you can take a decision and you can take a situation and be tweaked and heart motives and all that, and it bumps it to the immoral or amoral or moral side. So, okay, lest I get confusing here, I realize that. But what happens is leather, cotton, plastic, rubber, things in this life, is it amoral? Piece of plastic, right here. What do you think? Does God say, that's got a serious problem? That's immoral. Mm-mm. It's a hunk of plastic. But if they take some plastic and they make it into an immoral shape, plastic just now became immoral. Or they can take plastic, I don't know, I don't have any plastic on my Bible, or plastic, and it becomes moral and beautiful. So, again, let's remember, leather is amoral. Leather that goes into shoes can still be amoral. A motive that says, I kind of like these shoes. Hopefully everybody notices them and thinks they're really nice. And I get a bump in my carnal man. Shoot, leather just moved out of amoral to negative, immoral. You get it? It's that simple. Leather that's used, I guess this actually isn't a leather Bible, but, and again, I'm just going to extremes to make the point. And it becomes beautiful. And we almost, we don't just lay it on the floor and kick it around because it's holy. It's beautiful. Okay, so when we understand the feed-starve principle, we're taking maybe amoral things and we're shoving them here or here. And we're feeding one and or starving the other. Romans, back to 8. We had Romans 7, and I believe this is an excellent place to get this concept, and I think Paul is trying to get this concept across to us. As in Romans 7, we saw this war here between these two fellows. And this war was going on. In Romans 8, though, we're going to find verse 5, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So, okay, here we had spiritual, we had inward, now we have, outward carnal. They that are after the flesh, that's another term that I think clearly fits here. Do mind the things of the flesh. Where were we? Verse 5. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So Paul's saying, okay, you saw this wrestle in Romans chapter 7 here. There was a wrestle going on, but I want you to know, he's going to take us on further. They that are after the flesh do mind, set their mind on, set their affections on, set their desires on the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit do mind, think about, set their affections on, feed this after the Spirit. Can you see how simple it starts to get after a while? It's not very complex. I'm trying to take in one sense a complex thing and break it down very, very simply. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is going to be kind of difficult. Is that what it says? I'm surprised at the strength of this. If I live by Mr. Carnal, do you know what will happen to Mr. Spiritual? What's going to happen? What's it say? Well, one of you young people say it. What's it say? Die. Death. Ooh. If I mind, set my affections on, am consumed with Mr. Carnal, I'm going to kill Mr. Spiritual, and he's going to die. It's that simple. But do you know what? That's not discouraging to me. That is exciting. Because we saw in Romans chapter 7, he's wrestling with this. How do I deal with this? There's a war going on. He's saying very clearly, it's simple. Mind this. Set your affections on this. Make choices here. And then what will happen to this fella? He dies. Hallelujah! Don't be discouraged. It's a beautiful, exciting principle. But if this fella's alive and well, you won't like this principle real well. So I'll make it real plain for you. If you don't like some of these principles and some of the things I share today, I'm sorry. He's a little too alive. So now, you've got a real easy and plain. If you don't like what I say today, I'm sorry. He's too alive. If you like what I say today, he's alive. Or, I guess maybe I didn't do a good job or you misunderstood me. I'll give you that out. It's probably not a very good one. Let's go on. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded, yeah, we were there, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Hallelujah. You want life and peace or you want death? My, my, how simple can it get? It really isn't difficult. And when I began, I just remember back as a teenager to grasp this principle, maybe not quite this clearly and this simply, carnal man, spiritual man, or two-part man, but I began to grasp it as I realized I like to drive down the road with my window open and my arm out the window, hoping it would get a little bit of a suntan. Oh, but wait, then this side will and this side won't. How am I going to... What's happening? Who's concerned here? Who has a problem? This fellow's kind of alive, right? And I realized, oh, wait. And you can have a wrong motive, but I think I had a right motive, and I said, I'm going to pull my arm in. And then I didn't get the suntan that I thought might look nice. Can you pull your arm in and have a wrong motive? Maybe. But I think I had a right motive, and I said, I want this fellow to die. So I'm going to pull my arm in. I want this fellow to live. I want this fellow to... Do you see how simple life really is? I believe this feed, starve. I guess I maybe should say feed, kill. I guess God uses the kill. So maybe starve isn't the right word. I'm not sure. Feed, kill. As I begin to realize, oh, it's not that difficult. And the little decisions I make in life begin to decide where, what kind of a person I am, and questions come. What are my convictions? Are my convictions that I want to make Mickey all that he can be? Or, excuse me if I'm oversimplifying, I want to make God all that he can be. And as I began to realize that and make everyday decisions, do you know what was happening down in here? Solid convictions were being built. Solid things that I had something to stand on and make everyday decisions on. The spiritual life isn't as lofty and spiritual and fuzzy as we think it is sometimes. Vibrating households, right? It's kind of everyday. Sometimes it means pulling your arm in the window. Can I use that illustration? Maybe that's not even drawing to some of you, but I think you get the idea. I'll try to use some more, and maybe different ones will catch different ones. But I think you get the idea. We got lost in Romans 8 here, off of Romans 8. Verse 7, I believe. Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind, affections, desires, is enmity against God. Wow, that's strong. For it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. Remember that fellow in Romans 7 that was just wrestling? I want to do this and I don't. And Paul's saying, listen, it's clear. This fella, he's not subject to the law of God, to this fella. He's not. He's against him. So then they that are in the flesh, those that are making decisions according to this fella, how are they going to please God? Are they? I'm sorry, if this fella is driving you, you won't please God. That's kind of simple, isn't it? Where were we here? Verse, I keep getting off. But ye are not in the flesh. Romans, you're not in the flesh. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, this is not you. This died, buried with him in baptism, brought alive. Who came alive? This fella. Who died? This fella. If we're truly following Christ, you don't have to be bound by this fella, the carnal man. But if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. You're in the Spirit if the Spirit of God... Did we talk about that yesterday? Remember that? The Spirit in us. The Spirit of God empowering, enlivening. So you're born again, all right? The Spirit comes and says, I want to make you a spiritual man. And you say, I want to leave my arm out the window. I want my own. Bear with me. Each of these decisions can end up a little bit on each side. But I think you get the point, okay? So don't fall into the law as I throw out decisions. I want my arm out the window. I want to swing by the gas station and get a Mountain Dew. Again, just think about who's being fed. As I drive down the road, I'm going to listen to music that has a little extra beat because it feels good. What is happening to these two men? You said you want to follow Jesus, and I believe you did. And not only that, you're driving down the road with your Mountain Dew and your arm out the window. Just take all the illustrations, okay? And it's in a car that you think is kind of nice, and you're hoping people are looking. And you're driving down. What's happening? Who's getting fat and who's getting skinny? And then you can't figure out, or maybe your parents or maybe your leaders come to you and they're a little concerned about this and they're concerned about that. And you're scratching your head. Come on. Do you know what it is? They see this. They see this fella getting skinny and this fella getting fat. And they're trying to help you see what's going on. Sure, you were born again. Sure, the Spirit of God came in. But now this fella's getting fat, and they're saying, you're choking the Spirit of God. It's going to lead to where everyday living won't come out right. There won't be solid biblical convictions for you to stand on because this fella's getting fed too much. Okay, verse 13. I was supposed to read that too. For if ye live after the flesh, you will die. You were born again by the Spirit of God, but if you live after the flesh, this fella is going to die. And I think we see it over and over, and I don't know when someone died and when they're still alive or half dead. I don't know. But we see it. Someone truly commits their life to following Jesus. He washes them from their sin. He gives them a new heart, and he says, go on this path. And they starve and starve. And starve, and they die of starvation. We don't always know when that death happened, but they keep living life. They don't look lots different, but they keep feeding this fella, starving this fella. And I think there's a time that their life may look the same, but they're dead. And God knows. We don't always know. We have to be careful, judging and all of that. We need to be discerning. We need to, especially in the church and all that. When we step outside, God give us grace and wisdom to know how. Two men war within my breast. The one is foul, the other blessed. You probably heard this, but I'm going to say it again. The one is foul, the other blessed. The one I love, the one I hate, the one I feed will dominate. Can I say that again? Do some of you know that? Could you say that without me saying it? Okay, I'm going to say it again. Two men. Some people put two different things in there. Two men war within my breast. The one is foul and the other blessed. The one I love and the one I hate. The one I feed will dominate. Isn't that fairly simple? Isn't that what this feed, starve principle is showing us? If you want that later, you can ask me. I noticed some of you trying to write it down. Young person, when we're born again, This man here is tender. I like to picture him as a little lamb. And he's born, and he's just this tender little lamb. You have to be careful with lambs. You have to make sure you feed them. If you skip a couple days, what happens to him? He doesn't last long. Some of you aren't just born again. Maybe some of you need to be born again. Maybe some of you are all looking here and this is all you want. You need the Spirit of God. You need to come as the song said in 5:10 there, all to you I offer. Some of you still need that. And you need to come and say, God, here I am. All I have. Cleanse me, purify me, and take me and use me. Some of you need ground zero, base. You need to do it. Don't put it off. Don't keep choking here. And living by here. Please don't do it. Please. Some of you, your little lamb's born. And it's just born. And you're trying to figure out this church, spiritual, walking with God, all these things, and you're trying to figure them out. Can you use this? Is this simple enough for some of you who are just lambs? Isn't this simple enough? There's two things happening, and you're going to feed one, starve the other. That's just the way it is. Begin feeding. God was merciful to me. I got on my knees one night as a 13-year-old, and I said, Jesus, will you forgive me? I prayed a simple prayer. I don't remember the words I said. I got up, and I believe he did a work. But my little lamb, it stayed kind of small for a couple of years. It really did. It didn't get fed a whole lot. It got fed a little. There was still a tenderness. I didn't kill him. I didn't totally starve him. But both fellas got fed a little bit. As I grew, I started realizing this lamb needs fed, and I started giving him milk. And then every now and then I realized I clubbed the poor little lamb. Wham! Because this fella got fed. That means this one got clubbed, and that poor little lamb went bleeding, and he had bruises and ouches and oops. And I had to go back and give it some milk. Can you picture your life like that? That's what you're doing with yourself. And so this little lamb of mine, I gave it milk, and thank you, God. And there was some stirrings and things happening. And then I make a decision, and it takes a baseball bat. And sorry, it sounds awful, but I think we need to realize it. And we knock this lamb over the head, and he falls over in a daze. That's what we do sometimes with our decisions. That's what's happening. And we want solid, biblical convictions at adulthood that help us chart a course for our life. And you're whacking this fella over the head with a baseball bat? Mm-mm. Won't work. Won't work. Let's go on a little bit. Ephesians 4, 17 through 32, Galatians 5, 18. We're kind of jumping back and forth from a few places where I think Paul is trying to get this point across very clearly. We're not going to go there. Ephesians 3, 16, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, so that this fellow is fed, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to Mr. Carnal, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, taking your mind and renewing it and putting it here. By the renewing of your mind, and we can go on and on and on. To see this basic two-man part principle, starve-feed principle. Okay. I'm going to just shorten this. I'm going to say heart, actions, principle. Again, it's all the same thing. So what we have here, some of you maybe have heard or seen this, so bear with me. I just feel it's so important to understand this, then some of you have to hear it again. Okay? So what we have is we have Mr. Spiritual, we have Mr. Carnal. And we have, I'm going to go over here. No, we're going to do Mr. Spiritual here first. And we have a verse that says, and I'm just going to refer to it. You can write it down if you want. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew 12, 34. And that's just one verse. We could look at a whole principle there. So this third point here is actually a whole message and probably a series of them to actually make the point. But I'll try to make it clear. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So here we have a heart. Out of the heart, we have a mouth speaking. Isn't that what's happening? So I share the illustration of my father and the beautiful things that are coming out of his mouth. My dear young people, my father has a beautiful heart. Again, not perfect. It's not quite like Jesus yet. It just has a lot of things like him. Okay? Out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth is speaking, and we're not sure how much he's going to remember of what he's saying. It's okay. His heart is good, and so his mouth, his actions are beautiful as he's coming in and out of his days. Right? See that illustration? So that's what Matthew says here. It's what Jesus says. Out of the abundance of the heart, we have actions coming. And sometimes we say, oh, there's an action coming out of your life. Heart problem. Right? Isn't that what we say? Heart problem. We want to get to the heart. Don't just say, oh, I shouldn't have bought a Camaro. Okay, don't buy a Camaro. by a, sorry, I'm not real good with cars, and forgive me for using a car illustration again, but, what's something midway? Somebody give me something, I'm sorry. It's, you know, Grandpa wouldn't drive this car, and it's not just a family car. Do you have one, Andy? Okay, I'm not sure, so somebody's going to have to help me. But midway, and then make sure it has a little spoiler. The windows are tinted. The wheels, I'm not sure if you want them chrome or you want them black or what you want them these days. I'm not sure because it keeps changing. But, you know, and you do everything just right. And so, okay, not the Camaro, but you go, do you know what's happening? Maybe you're doing one good thing, but there's a heart that's just, and it's just squirting out. And out come the actions. Okay, so you buy a Toyota Civic. I've seen some pretty fancy Toyota Civics going down the road. Mufflers come off, the spoilers go out, the windows get tinted, the wheels, and I don't know, sometimes they go down, sometimes they go up, I'm not sure, depending on what people you're around. But do you see what I'm saying? And so you can't, you don't have the money for a Challenger or a Camaro or a Corvette or a whatever they all are, but it still comes squirting out in something else. No, you're not going to walk into church here with a, my wife bought me a gray shirt, maybe I'll wear it tomorrow, might not be the same one, but along with it came a purple tie. My children just thought this was hilarious, and they would like to see me wear a purple tie. Okay, you're not going to come in fitting in with the world with a gray shirt and a purple tie. But does it come squirting out in something that's a little more acceptable, and yet you know it's just not. See what I'm saying? Out of the heart. And so we say, we've got to deal with the heart. But I want us to understand this principle also. Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See that? Where you put energy, where you make decisions, where you put your treasure, where you put your mind, begins to affect your heart. Sometimes I think people forget about the top half. We hammer on the heart and actions thing, and we can't make clear decisions. That doesn't work. So to make an outward decision, and so I, you know, my wife and I talk about this. Okay, we're not going to buy this. Does that mean this is ungodly and this is godly? Not necessarily. But you know what it does? It gives us a line that helps us know our actions are going to stay inside of here and outside of here. And as you make clear decisions and actions, it affects the heart. As long as the heart isn't boiling out from underneath and pushing the edges. That can happen too. It's true. But just because the heart peeks out somewhere else, it didn't mean it was bad to put a stop on it over here where it shouldn't have popped up. Just because this jack-in-the-box shouldn't have popped up here and we stop it and it pops up over here, that didn't mean it was wrong to stop it here. What I'm saying? So just because we draw a line here and then the old heart leaks out around the fence, and that doesn't mean the fence was wrong. Answer isn't fences. The answer is a changed heart by choosing actions that creates a changed heart that creates better actions. And this cycle is exciting. So if my heart says, let's not put it out the window, my arm out the window, I'm going to put it in and I want to. God, would you change my heart? I made an action. And I say, God, please, help me not be concerned about me and my appearance and what people think about my appearance. Help me be concerned about that I appear what you want me to appear, that I represent you. And so if I stick a prayer and I start making decisions, you know what happens? I'm throwing something into this heart action principle and it starts going around and Mr. Spiritual grabs his bottle and says, this is good. And he grows. Do you know what can happen over here? I'm going to go ahead and, oops, I didn't mean to go the opposite way. Let's see here. Yeah, I can fix that. I'm going to go ahead and keep my heart out, my arm out the window. Forgive me, I did not plan this arm out the window thing. It just came to me. I have a bunch of them here. I'm supposed to go down, so. Oh, I should, using my time. I'm going to just use my time. I know I really probably shouldn't go do too much of this or too much play or too much volleyball or too much whatever it is, but I'm going to do it anyway. What's happening, and it's maybe not all wrong, but you're throwing a volleyball into this and it's starting to go around. Oh, I did that wrong again, didn't I? I'm sorry. Some of you are You were very respectful and quiet. I hope sometime you would have fixed that for me. Anyway, so you're throwing something in here, and you're throwing it at Mr. Carnal, and around starts going. Around starts happening. But if I make a decision, you know what? I played some volleyball. My heart got pumping. Again, I'm just using illustrations here. I'm going to go and sit by someone over there that looks a little bit lonely. I sit down beside him. How are you doing? What's happened this past week? What have you been thinking about? What did you think about last Sunday's message? And you just start begin to ask questions. And you know what, if you're anything like me, there was a time when I had to sit down before I would go to some of those meetings and think, okay, what are some questions I can ask people that would be worthwhile? I'm not this so gifted spiritual person that I kind of like this vibrate idea. And I'm just vibrating with spirituality, and so just out of my mouth flows spiritual questions and spiritual things. Sometimes I sat down and said, okay, and I take this little piece of paper and stick it in my shirt pocket. All right, there's a question I can do. There's a question I can do that might lead to something profitable or show care to someone. Oh, yeah, someone said they had this difficult something coming up, and you jot it down so I don't forget it and I can ask them about it. Because I care about them. I want to throw something in here and make their principle spin, and I want to make my principle spin. And so I say, what can I do with my time, with sports, with all of these things? They need to be used wisely. Look at them fairly and squarely and say, which one am I feeding? Which man is getting strength out of this? It's a real simple principle. What about servanthood? How am I going to serve? I get up in the morning. Let's just picture a fella or a young lady. You get up in the morning, and I've been challenged with a thought. I think it was Brother Leonard Martin that made this comment. He's trying to say, good morning, Lord, before he thinks or says anything else. So he wakes up, and he says, good morning, Lord. There's no spiritual formula here that you say that, and then you'll be spiritual. But you know what you just did? Oh, I'm sorry. You threw something in here. Good morning, Lord. I'm going to go into my day. I want you to lead it. So you just threw something in here. And you get up. And the clothes you put on, you know, okay, they're clear. They're not feeding here. It's good. Clean, nice looking. You put your clothes. I'm just thinking through a day. You're feeding over here. You want a little time with God. You find yourself a little corner. You open the Word. It may not be a vibrating morning. You should have some vibrating mornings, right? We should have some of those. But when we don't have them, plod on. You're thrown in here. You're thrown in here. So you spend a little time, and it's focused. It's serious. You're not just distracted doing your devotions. Did you do your devotions this morning? I kind of struggle with that comment. There's nothing wrong with that question, but do devotions. Okay. As long as you do them with your heart. Do, somehow I get the feeling of it's just kind of casual. Make sure you get through it. Okay, but you throw in. You get out of that, and you realize, oh, I hear someone down in the kitchen. In fact, you might even quit your quiet time a few minutes early. Go find mom, a sister, a whatever. And you go and you help. You might have rather stayed up there and whatever, relaxed. It's easier to sit in your chair and read your Bible than go down there and help make breakfast. But so you make this decision. And you say, I'm going to be a servant. And you throw that in. And you're watching and you see a sibling squall. And you have an opportunity to go over and, I don't feel like getting off my chair. One of my children needs help in the bathroom. They need whatever it is. I know what it's like to prefer that. I hope Laura hears that. Did she hear that? Guess she didn't. I got to go. You know that little bit of wrestle? Where's the servant-heartedness? You have a few children. I think you'll find that one coming up. Start at your age and say, I hear this squall. I'm going to be a servant. Oops, sorry. I'm going to be a servant. So then you go to your day, and now it's time to go to work, young men, or you're going to serve somewhere, young ladies, and you hop in your car. Thank you, Brother Levi. What kind of music are you going to turn on? Or are you going to use your mind, think, pray, who are you going to feed? And so you decide, I have 30 minutes. I am going to turn on, and please, I'm not, just take my illustrations as illustrations, okay? I'm going to turn on, and I'm going to listen to the Smuckers, and they're going to sing. Isn't that one of the songs you played that was good? I was trying to use something that was very, that you had supported, whatever. Almighty Invisible, and you begin. You turn your mind to God and you're driving to work. Who's getting fed here? And 15 minutes, now I'm going to pray. I'm going to meet this so-and-so worker. I'm going to meet this so-and-so. Maybe you think I'm extreme. It doesn't have to be. Maybe that feels a little extreme to you. I'm not always that good at it, okay? I'm not always this extreme. I don't always feed my lamb that much milk. But if you do that with a love, who's gonna get fat? And who's gonna get skinny? And it's the end of the day, and you have a little spare time. What books are you gonna pick up? How are you gonna fill your mind? Maybe you listen to a book on the way home. And maybe, and I just threw in some illustrations because I'm not good at thinking of them all the time. Maybe, oh, my sweet little daughters were talking this morning, and I asked her, can I use this illustration? And one of them was worried that the other one, I'm not sure if I'm getting it right here, Dolly, so you have to forgive me, socks were ugly. And one thought the socks were ugly, and the other one kind of agreed. And I said, you know why? And then there was a little bit of bantering, and one starts to cry, and I said, you know what's ugly? That's what's ugly. You have a bad attitude about your socks. But you put on those ugly socks with a sweet smile and a good heart, and mama says these socks are good for me. That's pretty. Got it, young ladies? I'm sorry. That's pretty. To anyone who has enough strength here, that's what's pretty. Not the color or the shape or the what of the socks. Which one is going to feed which man? You know what I mean? And I don't know if it makes any difference to you, but I'm going to use a little peer pressure. Some of you young ladies that want to be pretty, and you feed this too much, you're just not very pretty to me. Sorry. If you were looking to be pretty, you missed it. Some of you who might not have all the tops this and the tops that, but your face is free, and it's pure, and it's clear, and you don't have a cocky, usually we put cocky here. What's the attitude? A drawing attention to me attitude. And the head doesn't get flitted this way. And the hair doesn't get pushed that way. And the whatever doesn't get that way. That's just not pretty. Sorry. Can I put a little bit of peer pressure in here? Be pretty. Beautiful. Feed this man with a pure, beautiful face. A servant heart. Serving him. I'm at my time. And I'm not done. But young people, can you see this simple principle? There's a carnal man, there's a spiritual man, and they're fighting in you to live. They're fighting hard and they both want to live. Please feed him and starve him. Please. Make choices that will form who you are. Everyday choices. Did I give enough practical illustrations? I'm just trying to grab from my own life. Some of you throw in some others, and maybe you should talk to each other, even over lunch. Oh, I wrote down a question here. I was supposed to give you a suggested question for over breaks or lunchtime. How have you fed or starved either this man or this man? How have you fed or starved? Ask each other whether it's over lunch, a break time, and it might feel a little uncomfortable, and they're going to grin at you. Oh, yeah, you're supposed to ask that, so you're asking it. And you're going to feel a little self-conscious inside. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to ask that. Do it anyway. And the person that responds and say, you know what, I want to grow this man, so I'm going to ask this question, and I'm going to try to make a comment. Simple, hard, both. But you know what can happen? You can decide, do you want to feed this man or not? Yeah. Biblical convictions. Oh, you're supposed to write on your bullet points, does this feed my spiritual man under the spiritual man? The first bullet point. And the second one, does this feed my carnal man? And I'm sorry, each, I only have one there for each. I thought if I don't come up with another, that's fine. So it should only be one bullet point under the spiritual man, one bullet point under the carnal man. Very simple questions. Does this feed my spiritual man and does this feed my carnal man? Do you get that? My plea here this morning is just that you would understand this basic principle. Clear decisions, clear lines, clear standards for yourself, your family, or your church help form us. If you push against them, they may not help you much. But if they're there, they can be a blessing. They can be helpful. Okay? Some clear decisions. In and out. Does that mean Jesus would do it exactly there and all down through ages? That's exactly... No. I'm not trying to say that. But for me, for us, as a family, as a church, we think this is best. And you make some clear actions. And if it's done, it can feed the heart. Does that just fix everything? No. But don't say that because it doesn't fix everything, it doesn't help. You're throwing some things into the cycle and just keep throwing and make the cycle go. You're doing other things that make the cycle go. Take a real assessment of your life. What are the things I am doing and what makes it spin? Do you get it? Do you get it? Is it simple enough? The carnal man, the spiritual man principle. It's in your hands. Again, if you don't like this message, probably you need to realize I'm probably feeding this fellow too much, and to starve him I'm not going to like. But if you love it and you grab it with excitement, you will be a useful vessel for God someday, that we'll be able to walk together and we'll be able to have this closeness and we'll work together and the kingdom of God will be exalted. This is a huge step, young people, for biblical convictions. I believe it. Forgive me. God bless you, each one. I love you. I care about you. And I don't, forgive me if I come across a little strong. I care. I really, really do. And I'll stop. Bless you all.